And this is the last lesson in the book Tall Law by Steve Currington. This last section, we've been considering the different principles of developing a relationship with the Lord, of not just reading and memorizing God's Word, but studying it and meditating on it. And then these last few chapters, we've been focusing on what is referred to as the four R's of reformers, based on Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where it talks about, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we've considered that we have to live by faith. We have to recognize the importance of that we can't live in our own strength. And it says we do that, we see that it says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. And so that's the thing, is we want to understand that he gave his life for us. And we want to have that thought, because he gave his life for us, that means something. Right? And he didn't make that sacrifice just so I can live my life however I want to. It's the idea, okay, he gave that sacrifice to us, or for us rather, so that we could live not for ourselves but for him. And so it's that idea that we want to understand that we want to relinquish our ownership of what we want to do, what we want to be, and what we want to have. And because those are the things of this world, and we realize when we trust Christ as Savior, we follow him, we're not of this world anymore in that sense. And as well, we realize that's where we've really, when we've run into trouble in life, especially when falling into temptation, falling into addiction, it's because we have these different desires. I want this, I want to be this, I want to have this happen to my life. And that's usually what's been getting us into trouble all that time. That this is a desire I have, even though it's not a good desire. I want it, I want it, I want it. Then I get it, and it's like it wasn't worth it, and now I'm enslaved by it. And so he's trying to help us to turn from that, because it's like if we have our ideas of what we want to have and what we want to be, what we want to do in life, but we know God may have different ideas. And we realize if there's a choice, God's ways are not going to be, we're not going to be worse off by pursuing God's ways, right? That if we're pursuing our ways instead of God's ways, usually we're going to be much worse off. And so it's learning that, understanding that, okay, he gave his life for me. If I submit my life to him, he knows what to do with my life better than I do. And that's how, as I give my life over to him, that I can find real victory. And it's saying by relinquishing self-ownership to God, we can overcome our sinful habits by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the source of our strength. It's not our strength of trying hard to do better. It's where we see in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so we have to learn to yield our rights to him and say, okay, what do you want me to do in this situation? It's not my life anymore for me to do as I please. I want instead to live to please you. And as we do that, as we follow in his steps, that's when we learn to overcome our sinful habits. And there's a key passage. It's in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. And it says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so we have in that thought where we see that we're bought with a price. And what was that price? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. That he gave his life, he shed his blood for us. And so because of that, we realize, okay, because he did that for me, then I should seek to glorify God. I should bring honor to Him. I should, the idea of bringing glory is to make someone look good, right? And so we want to glorify God, and it's in our body and our spirit, in our outward actions, and then in our inward thoughts. We want to honor those, because they all belong to God. And the truth of relinquishing self-ownership reminds us of who we are and why we are here. That Jesus Christ gave Himself to redeem us. He gave us His Spirit to guide us. And so we belong to Him inside and out. And so this should always be a motivational, because He purchased me from a life of sin, a life of destruction. He rescued me. I want to live for Him. I want to honor Him by my life, just as a way of saying thanks. And so, but it is something that we want to understand, that when we get to that point where we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give my life over to You, and when we do that, of course, we will see victories, but that's usually where Satan's going to work that much harder to attack us, to really discourage us from the right path. And sometimes it's interesting, because there's this one verse in 1 Corinthians 16 where Paul talks about, he says, before me is an open door and there are many adversaries. And it's an interesting passage, because like, there are times where God opens a door for us, and it's a door of opportunity where we can do something great and make a real difference. But then whenever that door of opportunity opens, then we find that Satan is trying to do everything he can to prevent us from taking a step through that door of opportunity. And so sometimes what happens is, we go to take a step, we're convinced this is what God wants me to do, and we step forward, and there's all this different things that come up of people just seeming to try to throw a monkey wrench into it, of different things, of people being discouraging about it, and just all these things where it just doesn't seem to work out. And sometimes what we think, well, I thought this was what God wanted me to do, but then maybe I was wrong. Maybe I heard wrong. Maybe I misunderstood what God was wanting me to do. And we think, well, the door must actually be closed. And then it's like, no, the door is still wide open. But what happened is the devil is saying, like, I got to keep them from going through that door, because if they do, I'm going to be in big trouble. And so what we have to learn in those times is, like, if I know this is what God is leading me to do, I need to go forward despite the adversity, and trust that God can help us through that. And that sometimes our tendency is we want to take the path of least resistance. And we think, okay, when there's not any opposition, well, that's the path I should go. And we want to realize, well, the devil doesn't give us any opposition to that path, because if we go that way, we're not a threat to him. But it's sometimes it's like, okay, which way I should go? And it's like when we choose a path, and suddenly there's all this opposition. It's like, oh, I found the door. It's here. And it's going to be hard to get through it, but I need to keep going through the door. And so we need to learn that. And if we get to a point where the devil isn't attacking us and throwing us off the game, we have to say, wait a minute. Maybe he's gotten me off into this little kind of safe place where I'm hurt. I'm not a threat to him. I'm not actually accomplishing anything. Maybe I need to redirect myself. And so it's the thing that again and again we have that relationship with God, and we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And as He gives that direction, He gives us peace. We say, okay, whatever I'm going to go through, I'm going to trust that You're going to sort that out, and it's going to work out for the best. And it's important for us to really get that idea. And there's this one verse. This is Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of the thing, is that God is working in each of us, and He doesn't give up on us, that He's going to keep working on us. And sometimes we kind of veer off into one direction or another, but it isn't like where He says, oh, you messed it up, I'm just going to kind of cast you aside and I'll deal with someone else. No, He's merciful, and a lot of times He says, okay, I'm not done with you, I'm going to still use you. I know one example, maybe it's not the best example, is when you read about Samson in the Bible, that he was this man that God was using in different ways, but really he was making a complete mess of things. And he made a terrible mistake, and he ended up becoming enslaved by the people that he was trying to free his nation from. But then it was kind of at the very end of his life we find that God ended up using him once more. And in that one moment he actually accomplished more than he had in all of his life before. And so it's interesting just to know with God where he's not finished with us. And we that gives us encouragement, because sometimes we think, oh, I've failed, I've went out of the way, that he's like, I'm not done with you, and he's going to keep working. And so it's the idea, if we're going to walk with God, it is a matter of us submitting to Him, of us following Him. We talked about this a bit this morning in Sunday school, that if we're going to walk with God, that means we're both going together. And if anybody's going to lead in that walk, it's going to be Him, not us. And sometimes we think the relationship with God is that He's kind of our chauffeur, and we tell Him where we want to go, and we hope, okay, well, you get me there faster than any other way. And instead, really, what the relationship is He's the one driving, and we get to tag along. We get to ride shotgun, kind of thing. That it's really understanding that He's taking the lead, and we need to follow Him, because if we do follow Him, He's going to take us to a place that's going to be better than where we are now. And we have to learn to trust Him in that if He's steering us a different way than what we want, He's probably got a way better idea of where to go than we do. And that, you think of the children of Israel, of how God had a plan for them as they were freed from the slavery in Egypt. He said, I want to take you to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of blessing and fruitfulness. And but what happened is that as a nation, they spent year after year wandering around in the wilderness. And the reason why was because they wouldn't believe God when He said, I can get you in and I can help you to defeat these giants that are in the land, that you think are so overwhelming. And so, so we want to understand that to follow God, we have to yield to Him. And so, as we kind of get towards the end, we want to just kind of review the six steps for walking in the inner man. And that's, the inner man is kind of the idea that we've talked about in this study. Is it's where instead of having this outward pressure upon us to try to do good or stop doing wrong or whatever, then instead we're guided by that inward persuasion, that communication, that relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. And so the first step that we see is we take the acquisition of information to produce justification. So we hear the truth of God's word, we hear the gospel, the way of salvation, and we accept it to be true, we accept it by faith, and so then we call upon the Lord for salvation, and then we're justified. It's like we've never sinned in God's eyes. We've been cleansed from our sins, they're not going to be brought up anymore, and we know we have an eternal home. And then the next one is that we study the Word of God to develop our personal relationship, that we understand God wants to speak to me from His Word. And there's truths that He wants to give me. really each day that can be a help to me, help to others that I might interact with. And so then, as he shares with us his word, we allow the Spirit-prompted information. So that's when we're reading and God kind of has a voice stick out to us. Then we start to memorize it. We try to get it into our brain so that it's readily accessible to use. And then you use your memorization as information for meditation. But that's the key. That's how we're going to be blessed and find victories if we're changing our thinking, if we're dwelling on the right things. And there's no better thing to dwell upon than the truth of God's Word, because it's the truth that's going to set us free. And then we allow that meditation to develop our personal relationship with the Lord, that as we think about these things, it helps to build our faith, our minds on the truth. And then we understand that personal relation will be the catalyst for you to enjoy the benefits of sanctification. And sanctification is that whole concept of where we're saved from the power of sin in our daily life, that we're cleansed, that these struggles that we have, we learn to get daily victory, and we are transformed from being just our own person with all our different struggles to becoming more and more like Jesus in the way that we act, the way that we treat other people, the way that we respond to the challenges of life. And so there's this one verse or passage that really kind of been kind of the focus of this whole last section. And this is Ephesians 3:16-19. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then the next two verses in that same passage says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so the power to do the impossible, the power to be transformed and to find victory over destructive habits, that it comes not from within our own strength, but from within the Holy Spirit that the Lord's put within us. And as we learn to walk in the Spirit and find victory, that's the abundant Christian life that God wants for us. That for us to try to do it in our own strength and to try and fail and try again, fail again, that's the redundant Christian life. And that's not what we want. That yes, God will forgive us and be merciful to us, but he wants to get us to that place where we're getting victory, and it's sustained victory, and we're learning to have true freedom from the sinful habits that have beset us for so long. And so what we're doing, there's the devil's system of management of this outside persuasion or outside pressure, but instead we want to yield to that inward pressure, inward persuasion rather, of the Holy Spirit. And that's how, as we develop that relationship with God, that we have not an exchanged life. And so that's the principles of biblical behavior modification. Alright, so yeah, standing verses to read, we did that. So yeah, the power to the impossible is within you. And yeah, well, exchange, enjoy the exchange life he's planned for you. Okay, so study questions. So last step of faith is to relinquish our ownership of what we want to do, be, and have. Key passage explains this truth is found where? Does anybody remember that reference? Yes, Gerson? Yes, correct. That's what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so that's what we realize, that he loved me and he gave himself for me, and so that means something. It's not for me to just live my life however I want to. It's like out of really simple gratitude to him that I say, okay, I'm going to live my life for him now, and then let him be the leader, because all the time that I've tried to run my own show, it's ended up in disaster. So I need him to really be my guide and my pilot and my shepherd in life, so that I'm going to end up where I want to be in my life. Then number two, if you make a mistake, you remain confident that God is still going to finish what he started in you. So what does Philippians 1:6 say? Anybody remember? Alright, well, it's being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That we can be sure of that, that he's not going to give up on us. He's working on us. And that's really, I think that's an important thing to recognize too with that, because sometimes, unfortunately, we get to a point where we think we're arrived, and we kind of think, well, I'm good enough. And we want to understand is that until the day of Jesus Christ, that's when basically Christ comes again, or he calls us home, right? And so he's not done with us. We sometimes think, oh yeah, God, I'm good. I don't need you to work on me anymore. And he's like, oh yes, I do. There's a lot more to do. And so we want to realize that we might be done, and others might think that God should give up on us, but he's not going to do either. He's going to carry on. All right, so six steps for walking in the manner of man. So I'll just put them down here. So we looked at these already. Take the acquisition of information to produce justification. Study the Word of God. Develop your personal relation. Allow Spirit-prompted information to become your memorization. Use your memorization information for meditation. It's kind of getting to be a bit of a tongue twister there. And then allow that meditation to develop your personal relation. And then finally, that personal relationship will be the catalyst for you to enjoy the benefits of sanctification. So it's a lot of different words there, a bit bigger, but it's to simplify it. It's like where we got to take in the truth. The truth sets us free. The more we study God's word, the more that builds our faith. We want to be dwelling upon God's word in our hearts, and as we do that, that helps us. It helps to build our faith, and that's the principle we've talked about, where in the morning we seek the Lord, we say, Lord, I need something for today, can you give me something? And then a verse sticks out, and you say, okay, I don't know what this verse means, but it must be important. So you try to study it out a bit, understand it better, and say, okay, I'm going to think about this verse. And then what happens is we get into a situation where we're tempted to kind of go away. We've always used to go, but then the Lord says, okay, I've given you this verse, this kind of thought to direct your thoughts towards. And so instead of continuing down that path you always go, you go this way instead. And then you find out, okay, I'm finding victory. I'm not falling into that same rut that I get into. And you're like, wow, this is good. And so then the next day he says, okay, well, Lord, you helped me this day. I trust you can help me the next day. And so his mercies to us are new every morning, it talks about. And it's kind of that idea, is that he doesn't just want us to give us something for one day and have it last for a couple weeks. A lot of times it's like day by day he wants to give us something new that it can help. It might be to help us. Sometimes it can be help someone else. And we want to realize that's what he's wanting to do. And as we experience that, it develops our relationship. And as we follow him, each time he gives us something to direct our mind and thoughts towards, if we follow in that, He helps us to find victory. All right, so any thoughts or questions as we conclude this evening? But it's been a good book, good series. I know I've certainly enjoyed it and found that it's been very challenging. I wish I'd kind of known of some of this ideas like years before, because in some ways it's kind of plain. You wonder why I didn't see it before, but sometimes we miss things that are plain. And so it is kind of a help to understand. If we're trying to do it in our own strength, we're always going to get frustrated. But if we learn to walk with Him and have Him live through us, then we can find joy and victory. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed.